This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. You know, we often hear that change is good or change is inevitable, but for most of us, it's a challenge to embrace change. In this week's message entitled Embracing Change, Pastor Scott discusses our being sensitive to how God wants us to change. This message was delivered on August 12, 2018. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Good morning again, everybody. And I know we all sweating here, so once again, pray with us here at New Hope East Hawaii for our air conditioning fund, okay? But it's beautiful outside. We cannot really complain on a day like this, yeah?
You will come up for the certificates. Okay, yeah, come.
Last Sunday, we all went down to Coconut Island, and we did our quarterly water baptism. Had a good time.
We had two baptized, so you can come up and grab your certificates. Congratulate them. Woo, Roy and Arcadia. Yeah, give them a big hand. Woo. Congratulations. Here's your certificates. Put them in a frame. Hang them on your wall. Be proud. Right on.
And we had a good time down there. Who won the fishing tournament?
Nalu. Kepa. Kepa won biggest fish, most fish, and Genesis. She won the smallest fish, which was like .0 grams. Was on fish about that big. And after it was all said and done, we was all finished, Emma caught this big, beautiful butterfly fish. Oh, almost pulled her in the water. But well, it was just a fantastic time. And if you guys, if you wasn't there, you missed out because Grant and Kavai took everybody in one canoe. They must have went do like 100 laps around Coconut Island. So they go like, oh, they get some guns this week, man. Well, we had a great time. So the next thing we're going to do, the next fun event is the last Sunday in September. We were planning getting a water slide and doing a fun day. Yeah, not for us adults, okay? The kids can participate if they like. But yeah. Oh, and volleyball starting up August 26th. Okay, so I need you guys, whoever can play. Because we got to defend.
Hey, and I cannot play because I can barely walk, okay? All right. So we need you to come out for that. Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Scott. Yeah, so don't forget, what is that, last Sunday in September? The 30th, okay. So make sure you guys all come and enjoy one another. These events we have so that we get to have fun and fellowship, and we get to invite our friends and family to come and just check out what God is doing here and what he has in store for them. Now, just so you know, the water slide, there is a weight limit on it, okay? I just missed it by like 3 pounds, okay? The limit is something like 150. Okay, I missed it by 43 pounds. So this morning when you came in, you were given a bulletin, and the notes and everything for the messages in that bulletin. Also on the bulletin at the end, there's that tear-off tab. And if you're visiting us for the first time, or if you never have filled it out, we would ask that you would put your information down on that, your contact information, and then give it to the ushers when they come by with the bucket, or to one of the leaders after church if you don't finish it in time. Just so that we can get to know you. We promise we're not going to sell it to any advertisement groups, okay? We don't do that here. But just so that we can get to know you. Also on that tab is a praise report or a prayer request. If you have any prayer requests, we do want to be praying with you. You're part of our family here. So we want to lift you up in prayer. And there's nothing too big or nothing too small that our God cannot handle. So go ahead and fill that out. Same thing, put it in the offering bucket as it comes by. And of course, we love to have praise reports. We love to celebrate with you as well. So go ahead and put that down too. Okay? Well, we're going to prepare to receive of the tithes and offerings this morning. So would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Thank you, Lord. Father God, we do thank you. First of all, Lord, we want to thank you for this beautiful, beautiful day that you've given us. And Lord, we know it on days like this that you are God. And even on days not like this, you are God as well. And right now, Lord, as we prepare our hearts to receive of our tithes and offerings, Lord, we give them all up unto you. Lord, would you receive them and use them like only you can. Go ahead and multiply them and touch people for eternity with these gifts. Father, we know that's what you do because you're a good and loving God. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We give you all of the glory and we pray your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning, we have something very, very special. We have the Lyman 1 dozen, I call them, up here. These guys, just so you know, they're here. This whole family comes at about 5:30, and they come and they help and they set up. The chairs that you're sitting in, they get them all straight, and they know what they're doing. And I'm talking about the little ones, okay? So,
hello.
And this morning, it's a treat that they get to share with us a song. So would you welcome them this morning?
Such a lovely day, and the sun was shining bright. A gentle breeze was blowing my way, not a storm cloud inside. Then suddenly, the strongest wins.
So now you know how hot it is up here, huh? Yeah, it's not just me. When you got 100 eyes looking at you, the temperature rises. Give them another hand. Woo! It's a challenge to all of you families out there. You don't have to have 12 of you. You can have husband and wife. You see Pastor Aaron. We got one new ukulele player for our worship team and a couple more singers. Right. Oh, God is so good. Man, they're such a beautiful family. You, when they come early in the morning, if you ever seen ants, how they work together and get things done so fast, from the parking lot to here, the family comes through and they just know what to do. And they come right through here, bang, bang, bang. And next thing you know, so quickly, everything gets done. The chairs get wiped. The food gets made. Those materials get put on the backs of the seat. The water jugs get filled. And it doesn't happen automatically. But Joe gets his family. You know Joe. He's like, if you ever look at the head of a household, the man, he gets his family up early. And he gets them to church to hear the word of God and think that is like the head of the household. Man, that's our responsibility. And he does a good job in doing that. And it's just so wonderful. I look at the people, not just them, but I look at the people we have in this fellowship. And, you know, I'm just so grateful to be able to be a part of what God is doing here. Amen. Woo! Summer is here. It's hot. I know. We anytime you guys want to start an air conditioning fund, just let me know. Because I mean, we have all the finances to do it. It's just in your account. Oh, not funny, eh? Bad joke. Watch out, the stones coming out. All right. Well, change. Change is something that's always happened. The only thing that doesn't change is Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And sometimes when we got to change, it's difficult. We don't like it. It's uncomfortable. It takes us out of our routine. But if we want to change just to make change, and then I don't think that's right. It doesn't make sense. If we want to change to copy somebody, then that's not a good thing. And today we're gonna take a look at change, and we're going to look at it from different perspectives, you know, from if we do and if we don't, the end result. And what happens? And we're going to look at the Bible and people who made changes and reap the benefits of it, and what we can do to maximize our efficiency to relate to different generations. I remember several years ago, my wife was trying to get me to get one of those smartphones, and I had my flip phone. You know those flip phones? They were fine. I was happy with my flip phone. Nothing wrong with it. The only thing I had difficulty with is when I needed to type in an S, I had to press like 7-3 times just to get to the letter S. And it's like, oh, this is difficult. And so I pretty much didn't want to send a text message. It's like I have a brother who's 4 years older than me. And because of the things going on with my mom passing away and all that, we've been, you know, communicating a lot with my brothers. And for some reason, my middle brother, I would text him something and he wouldn't respond. He would call me up. And you ask me with my kids, every 5 minutes my phone would ring. And my kids would look at me like, Uncle Calvin, again, what, he don't know how to text? Because I think he has one of those flip phones, so I understand. But so I didn't want to get a smartphone. And then my wife would say, you need to get this. I said, why? It's so expensive. I don't need it. But, you know, it'll be better for you. So I didn't want to, but I did. And I said, this was my reasoning behind it. It'll help me communicate with all of you better. So when you text me, I can text you back. And you got to watch with the texting and the autocorrect stuff. Yeah? My youngest daughter sent my wife the F word the other day because I don't know what she was trying to do, but something happened. Oh, and you know that autocorrect, when you put in a Hawaiian's name, oh, jam up. I tell you, the whoever is behind that, they're not Hawaiian. I tell you, they put something else in there. And if you don't catch it, you can get in big trouble. So I did get my smartphone, and it does help me keep in touch with all of you so much better. And I didn't want to change, but, you know, I kind of feel, oh, well, I should try it. And I did. But, oh, those phones are so expensive. And it's like, okay, it's a good thing, because now when you text me, I can text you back. And the thing is, now when I go fishing, you still can text me. But if the fish is on the line, I'm sorry, I might not answer. And I can even check my emails. And I can, you know, it's the technology is so amazing, because, man, you can take pictures with your phone. So that when you catch one fish, people can believe you now. Instead of saying that I caught one, but and I had on camera. But, you know, it's the technology and the changes that came along with the technology has come so, so far. You know, when I was in high school, I used to love to take pictures. But it was costly because everything we do, we'd go, you know, back in the 80s, remember Kodak, the black and yellow? Only the old people will know this, right? The young people were like, what is that, Kodak? Well, back in the day, Kodak, we would have a big display of film. Film, for you young ones, is something that pictures were made of, put on. Okay? You would go to this kiosk, you would drop this little roll of film, and you put it in an envelope, you put your name on top, and you drop it inside the slot. And then 2 days later, you come back to the customer service, you go to pick up your pictures. Pictures is what something was printed on. It was a picture. I hope you know what. And, you know, they were like kings of the market. I mean, that's all you seen was Kodak. And for years and years, they ruled the film market. Well, back in 1975, this engineer for Kodak, his name was Steve Sassen, and he actually invented the first digital camera. It's like big, like a toaster. And the picture wasn't that clear, but back in the 70s, pictures wasn't clear anyway, right? And it took so much connections just to hook it up to a TV. And Kodak thought, well, you know, we got the market. So they told him to just, you know, they kind of like, you know, this could be dangerous for our company. So they did nothing with it. And then you look years later, man, they started coming out with the digital camera. And next thing you know, this generation is, what is Kodak? It's just a memory. They don't know. They don't have film anymore. Everything is digital. And you think about it, if they only embraced the change that was coming, if they could only say, let's work on this, and let's develop it, let's embrace it, and let's accept it, maybe they'd still be in business today. It's so sad. Change is always, always happening. You know, and are we going to roll with it, or are we going to ignore it, or are we going to just let it pass us by and miss out on things that is coming in the future? Are we going to make the changes we need now so that we won't regret it later on? I mean, right now, I had to make adjustments in my lifestyle because of the morning traffic. I gotta, you know, get up extra early so I can get to time. And this is ridiculous because, you know, who comes to see you for counseling at 5:30 in the morning? Nobody. But I go to the office early because I just hate sitting in traffic. And my truck is standard. And you know what? Maybe that's why I have a knee brace on. Maybe I keep pushing in my clutch too much. Maybe I'm old. Maybe I got to get an automatic. No. But, yeah. You know, we got to make adjustments. Our schedule, dropping off the children, making sure we pick them up. You ever forget to pick up your child at school? because you never make adjustments. You forgot about the changes. I did that once, man. Oh, I felt so bad. I think it was like the day before Thanksgiving when nobody told me they had half day. And they was waiting at school too. So, why they ever call me? They never have one phone. You know? But yeah, we have to make adjustments in life. Life is full of changes, and if we don't make them, we become extinct. So, what habits do you need to change? Think about it. What habits do you need to change so that 5, 10, 15 years from now, you look back and say, oh, I'm glad I did that. 18 years ago, drastic change of lifestyle. My wife was praying for so many years. I was just hard-headed and stubborn. Finally, 18 years ago, I made some changes in my life. It didn't happen overnight. It was gradual. You know, I don't know what went first. I think the first change I made was saying, you know what, life is terrible and miserable. It's junk, and it's all because of me. And I need to make some adjustments in my life. Because if I don't, I'm going to end up in a place where I don't want to be. And 18 years ago, I was looking back and I was thinking like, okay, I need to make these changes now while my children are young so that, you know, they grow up in a good, healthy environment. And so I made those changes. And if I look back, and if I didn't make those changes 18 years ago, we wouldn't be here right now. I don't know where would you. Some of you might not be in church. Some of you might be in a different church. But we wouldn't have New Hope East Hawaii. We wouldn't be in this fellowship. We would be scattered someplace else. But as I look back, that's some of the things like, wow, I'm so glad that I made those changes. In Exodus, we read about Moses in Exodus 18, 17. And Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, was telling Moses this. This is not good, Moses' father-in-law exclaimed. You're going to wear yourself out, and the people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you. Why handle it by yourself? So what was happening here was they came out of Egypt. They were like a mass exodus, probably a million people. And Moses would sit down from sun up to sundown, helping people to figure out what is right and what is wrong. People came to him with a problem, he would tell them how to fix it. So from the time he got up to the time he went to sleep, he was judging the people. Okay, you cannot do this, you gotta do this. This is right, this is wrong. This cow belongs to you, not to him. And all day, and his father saw, this is not good. Kids, imagine you get there at 7 o'clock in the morning and there's a line 100 deep already. It's like, oh, serious. I mean, you go to the Department of Motor Vehicles and you 10th in line. You're like, you're complaining already, right? Right? Or you go into the bank and get 5 people in front of you. Like, oh. Or you go into the market and you're 5th in line. Why don't they open up another lane? Right? How many of you do that? Yeah? And they open up another lane. Instead of pulling you who is second in line, they pull the guy in the back. Yeah. Or does that only happen to me? Right? The person with 20 items in the express lane in front of you. So he was doing this from the time the sun came up to the time the sun went down. And his father said, this is not good. You know, you're going to wear yourself out. And the people are going to get frustrated because they come to you for advice, yet they got to wait 8 hours just to come and see you. You're going to wear them out. So change was happening here. He had to make some changes. So Jethro said, hey, you know what? This is what you do. Instead of you doing all the work, get some people to oversee hundreds, fifties, and tens and spread out the work. It's like, when we first came to New Hope East Hawaii, there wasn't much to do. Although I had somebody who sing, I wasn't the one to sing. That's why after listening to Pastor Aaron's message the other week, I was grabbing plates because I couldn't sing. If you remember what he said, somebody was waiting on tables because they couldn't sing. So I was taking plates the other week because I couldn't sing. I like to think I can sing. And if you come early in the morning when we set up, I sing because nobody's here. I think Carlin got some recording, so I got to watch out. But he had to make some changes. We all have to make some changes. You know, what habits do you need to change? And as I was writing this message, God was telling me three things, you know, that I need to do. Of course, sometimes I don't want to listen, but I want to change the things I want to change, right? I want to, you know, sleep a little bit longer or do a little bit less. Sometimes I find myself spread too thin because I have a hard time saying no, and I love to help people, so I say yes, 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 and next thing you know, I got two things going on at once, and it's like, okay, this is not good. Yesterday, I had softball and a funeral at the same time. So I had to run in the funeral. This is the first time ever, okay? I had to go into the funeral, and I was number one on the list to sign in. How's that? That's the first time ever for me. I had to run in before everybody got there, sign in, and then go out to the baseball field. And you know what? Because never have enough players, I had to play. And because I had to play, we did not win. And my position of left bench was taken by nobody because somebody never showed up and I had to play. So what habits do you need to change? Or what do you need to forgive? Do you need to serve? Do you need to maybe start reading your Bible? Tithing? Quit drinking, smoking? Maybe you need to be kinder to your spouse. Maybe it's to get out of debt. Maybe some changes that maybe you're thinking, I need to go back to school. We're not perfect. And we all can make adjustments to our lives. None of these things I mentioned may be easy. Some may be very, very difficult. Some may make us very uncomfortable or challenge us. For me, the things I believe that I would like to do, or not really, you cannot really say like, because I don't like it. Like exercise. As when you say exercise and salad, it's like swearing at me. And like I said, the only time you see me eating salad, the only time you're going to see me eating one green salad is in front of you. Because I like put on this image like, yeah, I eat healthy. And that's a lie. So if you see me eating salad in front of you, you can just tell me straight up, stop faking it. The only salad I like to eat is mac salad. Amen? Yeah. So, yeah, it's like, you know, salad and exercise. Come on. But then, you know, 10 years from now, am I going to regret it? Whew. I probably would. You know, if I make these changes now rather than later, I'd probably be much happier 10 years from now, 20 years from now, and even if I get to retire. If I look at change in my life with the future in mind, shouldn't be too hard, right? But this is some of the things that, you know, I kind of, yeah, like to do. But the thing is, number two, what is God asking you to change? And that, I swear, is more important than what I want to change, right? Listening to what God is telling me to do in my life is more important than me telling me what to do in my life. And I think the things that God is asking me to do is to pray more, to do the E-word, the exercise, and to eat the salad. And I'm thinking like, wow, why would he be telling me to pray more? Because it'll help my spiritual life. Why do you think he's telling me to exercise? Because the healthier I believe I am, the better I can care for each and every one of you. Because I'll be ready, willing, and able to do what I need to do. Because if I get sick and I'm unhealthy or I can't do things, when you call me up to come visit you, I might be out of commission. And to exercise so I can last longer and enjoy my retirement years, if God allows me to retire, because when I signed up for this job, there was no given of retirement. I don't think you retire from serving the Lord. You just serve Him wherever you can. But think about it. Pray about it. What do you think God is asking you to do? What habits is God asking you to change? You know, on Wednesday mornings, we meet at 6 o'clock up in Blaine's and Orchidland. And we have a great time doing devotions together. And it's a wonderful thing. Is God asking you to get up early? And on Thursday morning at 5 o'clock at Blaine's, the industrial, we're there doing devotions. Is God asking you to get up early to come and read the Bible, get into a fellowship? Is God asking you to get up early to come? 5 o'clock men's ministry, that's quite early. And the changes I made in my life is I will get up at 4 o'clock and I'll be here so that when the men come at 5:30, the coffee is ready. Instead of coming at 5:30 and waiting till 6 o'clock, it's done. No, it's ready. It's ready for you. So I made those changes I made a choice to get up early. Even if this past Saturday I went to sleep at 12:30 and I got up at 4 and I was a zombie, but hey, I just enjoy being with the men. I had to make some changes. What is God asking you to change? Are you going to embrace it? Are you going to run from it? Think about it. Think about if you made those changes 10 years ago, where would you be now? So think about 10 years from now, 5 years from now. Would you like to be able to recite scriptures off the top of your head because it's in your heart? Or would you like to say, I know that someplace in the Bible. Where is it? God helps those who help themselves. Where is that in the Bible? It's not. It's not, really, it's not. Some people think it is, right? But it's not. But would you like to be at that point 5 years from now, be able to just recite scripture, be able to lead somebody to Christ by quoting Romans Road? Where would you like to be? Because it matters what changes you make now. And if you don't want to embrace those changes and make those changes now, 5-10 years from now, you're going to look back. It's like, I heard that message. I wish I made those changes back then because I'd be here now instead of in the same place. I tell myself if this is a long time ago. Yeah. I told myself, I'm going to start eating right and exercising before the doctor tells me to. And it came to the point where it's too late. I went to the doctor and he told me that and I put me on medication. And it's like, I wanted to do this when I was 30, 38, 39. And then by the time I was 45, it was too late. He put me on medication and he told me to exercise. And I wanted to do this before, but I didn't. I am the king when it comes to procrastination. I do not procrastinate when it comes to fishing, though. Yeah. Proverbs 69, the man of a mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Where is he directing you? What is he directing you to? Is he directing you to get up an extra hour early to open his word, to get to know him? Is he directing you to make a commitment to be here every Sunday, to fellowship, to receive that hug, that word of encouragement? I like this story in Luke 19, 1-10. Jesus, as he entered Jericho and was passing through, there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. I can relate to that so well. Man, you know, it's always us short guys. Always got to stand in the front when we're singing. Always cannot see through the crowd. And we go early, forget the good seats, only to have somebody tall sitting in front of us. And this guy was short. I think he was my second cousin from my uncle. So he ran ahead, climbed into a sycamore tree in order to see him, Jesus, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down to receive him gladly. When the people saw it, they began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Newsflash, who isn't? Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." Zacchaeus made some radical changes. I bet when he died and went to heaven, he was like, "Oh, I am so glad. I am so glad that I made those changes to my life." The changes he made must have cost him a lot of money, his fortune. But what, do you think he could have take that fortune he had? You think he brought it to heaven? I don't think so. But I think he was happy with the choices he made. Jesus' words, "Today salvation has come to this house," that did not imply that the act of giving to the poor had saved Zacchaeus. But his change in his lifestyle is evidence of his right relationship before God. Matthew 18:3, and he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." While still in the city of Capernaum, the disciples had asked Jesus the question they had been pondering among themselves: "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And to their surprise, he said, "You come like a child." Child had no rights according to the law. Your faith become childlike. You see, family, change, it's never easy. To make that adjustment from waking up every morning with a hangover, dry mouth, empty pockets because you spent it all in the bar, to make that adjustment from that to getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, to read the word, to spend time with the guys, it's not easy. But if I look back on my life and the guys that I got to hang out with, the guys that I get to know and hang out with and pray with and fellowship with, man, it is just such a beautiful thing. Because as men, we can say that we have friends. We have good friends in this church. Not just acquaintances, but friends that we can call in the middle of the night and ask for prayer. Why? Because we have a relationship. Change may not be easy. But what would you picture this? What would you like your life to look like 10 years from now? 15 years now? It's not easy to leave your house, your comfortable house on a Sunday morning when there's football on TV. Man, it's like, that's, you know, I was a NASCAR fan, and 90% of the races is on Sunday. And every Sunday morning when my wife would be getting up to go to church, I would be right there on my couch, cigarette right next to the window with my ashtray. You go. I'm comfortable here. But if you look at the changes that I got to make over these past years, man, I have no regrets. If I didn't make those changes, big regrets. I probably have be carrying an oxygen tank with those tubes around my ears because of all the smoking. What would you like to see your life like? What about in heaven? What would your rewards want to be? Partial rewards, full rewards, no rewards? You know, change is happening. Even in the way we get to reach our youth, even the way we deliver the messages, we need to be constantly reading and changing so we stay relevant. But really seriously, embrace the change that God is asking you to do. Don't procrastinate about it, but say, Lord, help me with it. And if you need help with it, if you need me to text you on the second and fourth Saturday at 4:30 in the morning, say, wake up. I will text your wife so she can wake you up. How's that? I won't text you because you're not going to listen, but I'll text your wife, and your wife will get so mad at me, she'll elbow you and get you out of bed. And then 10 years from now, because look, hey, Jeffrey, our brother Jeffrey made it this Saturday. He was walking in here like, where's the coffee? And see, because I get here at 4:15, the coffee is ready. But I hope, Jeffrey, I hope you have no regrets of coming. I hope you had fun. But what changes is God asking you to do? Is he telling you to read, pray, serve, give, love, forgive? What is he asking you to do? Are you going to do it? Or are you going to say, and then 10 years from now, I wish I did that. We don't want to be wishers, right? We want to be doers, amen? All right, you can put away your notes. Ask the worship team to come up. The change you need to do is say, yes, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. That is a big change, but that is the best change anybody can do, amen? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. And if you want to accept Jesus for the first time, pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? Right, we're all good. Lord, thank you so much. Please, Lord, speak to us in the areas of our life that we need to make some adjustments. We do need to make changes. And Lord, give us the strength to make these changes so that 5, 10, 15 years from now, we'll look back and say, I am so glad that I made these changes, these adjustments, because I'm in a place where I like to be now and not have any regrets saying, I wish I did. I should have. But we can look back and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me the strength to make these changes. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. We're ready. Okay, let's stand up and sing. Hey, we're going to play volleyball after church if anybody, like, get some exercise in this hot sun.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.